Welcome to AMG Academy. Get ready to dive into a vibrant community where insurance professionals come together to discuss the latest in sales techniques, innovative business strategies, and the power of collaboration. Whether you're looking out for the next big trend in sales or seeking insights into strategic business growth, this is your hub. This is AMG Academy.
Hello and welcome once again to AMG Academy. Matt McClure here with you, along with Nick Hildenbrand, who is a principal with AmeriLife Marketing Group. Nick, thanks so much for being here today. We're going to talk about a lot of great stuff.
Absolutely. I appreciate the opportunity to be on this innovative, wonderful podcast that we got going here, Matt, and appreciate you taking the time to talk to me today about some important topics and hopefully bring some expertise into the marketplace.
You always bring expertise into the marketplace. So I guarantee that that is what we will do this time around, Nick. But yeah, it's going to be great. And we're basically talking here on this edition of AMG Academy about growth, but in a very particular way, in a very particular situation. Talk about why you wanted to have this conversation, first of all, today.
For sure. I think it's an important topic. Growth in the marketplace, I think also, it comes from a level of your own individual, production growth that you can do as a solo agent out in the marketplace. But a lot of people, a lot of agents that are out in the marketplace don't understand or realize the opportunities, that their contracts and, production can bring them, to leverage their contracts out in the marketplace to become an insurance agency and support individuals out in the marketplace as downline agents and really replicate themselves and grow. So that's what I was hoping to, just have a great conversation today about all of the kind of directions that can go. What are the tools and technology that are out there that you can tap into and really hopefully a business strategy and things that we can just cover today, Matt.
Yeah, awesome. So let's dive right in then and start at the very beginning, which as I hear is a very good place to start. So the solo agent phase, so basically this is, you've decided this is what you want to do. You are diving right in as a solo agent in this business. Talk about what that kind of really means in the beginning to be a solo agent and that experience.
So, I mean, many of us know it's I think human nature is exciting to embark on a new chapter in anything. I don't think we're really meant to sit and do nothing. So, as an independent agent, you embark in this new chapter in your life in entrepreneurship to create something for yourself or a business for yourself. And that is exciting, but it definitely comes with its challenges. As you know, Matt, it is a scary spot to be in that you are starting and building something from scratch and learning from scratch every hard lesson you have to learn. But with that and hard work and dedication and focus and the right people around you, you can definitely create a career path in insurance that can last forever. And it's an exciting time to really do that in our marketplace. It's growing. And I encourage anybody that is looking into insurance, to connect with people and networks out there. It's a great business to be in. But there's a lot of decision-making that goes into that. There's a lot of support that you need as an individual when you're taking this on and contracts and things like that out in the marketplace. But I will say, to the people first starting out, really build out that network of agents and find individuals that are doing the same thing around you. Partner with the right partners out there. They can really be a business advocate for you and show you things to help your grow your business. I've started many companies in my time, and it would be extremely helpful to have like a business consultant that you can just pick up the phone or a mentor. And that's what a lot of the distribution partners out in the marketplace supply you first and foremost, more than anything else, is kind of a soundboard you know, and people that they talk to or stories that they have of individuals they're talking or growing or really helping in the industry to just bring, you know, expertise and knowledge to you and different ideas that you can really implement in your practice as a solo agent, for sure.
Very good. And any stories or maybe anecdotes that you can share about that might pop into your mind about individuals who did start as solo agents and people who you know, now have kind of gone from there, but maybe started like a lot of people who might be watching or listening to this podcast or starting today.
Absolutely. I got my own stories as a...
Hey, there you go. That's the best one right there.
And share some of the things that I went through as I was starting a business. You know, I started selling telephonically. So, you know, I definitely was one of the phases that I saw the telephone being a great tool of efficiency to talk to, you know, clients about Medicare products was kind of my bread and butter. And, you know, when to my earlier point, when you're first starting off, I remember going through scripts and all this stuff to engage clients. And we were doing self-gen off of the internet. So people would type in, you know, their information and inquire. And we always thought, what do we have to say? What's the best phrase? And, you know, what I quickly found, I went through all of these iterations and it boiled down to just a simple phrase to the customer. You know, you were inquiring and trying to educate yourself online and put in an inquiry on our website. And I'm calling you just to see how I can help and just be quiet, you know. And I found that a lot of customers, this is a big transition. And what was cool about it is you would get their whole life story of what they did before retirement, what they're trying to do in retirement, and just sit back and really listen. And the customer, in most cases, would give you everything you needed to know that you could help them with, and what their, you know, fears and goals were that you could plug as an expert, different products or different strategy for their retirement. And I would just say that to everybody. You know, we can go and get overcomplicated in scripts, but at the end of the day, we're just helping individuals that want to retire. And I think that you have to keep that in your mind, in the forefront of your mind. And if you come across genuine and caring, we have the products in the marketplace to really fit any need. So that's really all that it takes.
Yeah. And I love that. That's such smart advice about just, you know, knowing the question to ask and then just being quiet and letting them answer it. because it, you know, I think a lot of times as agents, people will get bogged down in, I got to make this sales pitch. I got to, you know, this is all on me to make this sales pitch, when, you know, you can get a lot of information, as you say, from somebody by just asking that one good open-ended question like that. So I think that's great.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So let's say you've been in the market for a while. You are a solo agent. Your business has been doing well. You've been growing a little bit. And, you know, you might be ready, you think, for kind of the next level, for some expansion. How do people know if they really are ready to take that next step and transition from solo agent to agency?
Yeah, I would tell everybody, make yourself ready. But we will go over topics of when you know you're ready. But you know, we're in an underserved marketplace. So I do encourage everybody, you know, I can't tell you how many stories I've ran across of individuals that have built this big business and have kind of passed away or a situation happened or whatever it may be, and kind of left that knowledge and all that life wisdom about this marketplace and didn't pass it on to anybody. And I think that's a disservice to this industry. There is so many people that are retiring and not enough of us out in the marketplace to support and help them in this big life transition. So I encourage everybody, ready or not, you know, find a way to either mentor or help somebody or get somebody new into this business, for sure. But, you know, many of us have gone around the solo path. And it gets to a point when you're building your own individual business and scale it to extremely sizable customer base, it gets really harder and harder to grow. You kind of hit a stagnant spot. You're supporting that customer base, and that could be a good spot for many people. But for those that see that, I definitely encourage you. That's an opportunity to say, how can I duplicate myself, or what are things that I can do to replicate what I'm doing? And you have the ability in this marketplace with organizations to do that. And it's not as hard as everybody makes it out to be. Some of us don't even know that we have, you know, the contract levels or the contracts and tools to be able to do that right at our fingertips. And there's not much that goes into it aside from maybe crafting something that's personal to you and building out a value prop that maybe attracts individuals to your agency as you grow. But it would just be when you get to a point, Matt, when you're hit a kind of threshold where you can't go any further, that is the time to say, okay, what is the next chapter and what's the next step for me to do in finding the resources to really replicate what you're doing? Because obviously you've built something that's successful and it can be replicated to agents.
I mean, that is kind of the bottom line of recognizing that spot, where you might be ready for that next level. And then as you say, there are those limitations, there are challenges to being a solo agent. So you get to that point and it's like, it's staring you in the face. And I'll ask at the risk of asking the same question twice. What about people who, in that time, maybe yourself or someone else who has successfully gone from that solo agency or that solo agent rather to an agency type situation in their business? In that transition time, what are some things that might be helpful lessons for our viewers and or listeners to know about?
Absolutely. It's definitely a hard, it's not an easy thing. I'm a personality, I should say, that I like to jump into the pool, feet first, and that's kind of always the way that I've done things. But I will tell you, being around and in leadership roles, I have grown to definitely listen to individuals that I surround myself with that tell you to pump the brakes a little bit and build out a business plan. And I think the first thing for you ever to do is really build out a business strategy of what you're looking to accomplish, with this agency. And that could be things as simple as, am I going to stay in my state that I'm in? Do I see the opportunity to, support agents across different state lines? And what does that look like? And as I'm building out a comp building this out, is there a comp structure I need to be looking at for the individuals underneath me? How do I pay them? These are all questions that are out there that having the right support around you or distribution partner that's there to support you can kind of walk you through these details to really build out a game plan. And many of them have helped agencies build out. I would say like AmeriLife Marketing Group, for example, we have business strategists on this side internally as we're building out our own businesses, right? But also supporting the distribution out in the marketplace with strategies, comp structures, things that they can really do, compensation systems, all of these things that are out there at your fingertips that you can tap into. But the main thing is it can be overwhelming, and you want to boil that down to a true business strategy that you stick to and really implement in your practice to grow it. From there, obviously, you're going to have tweaks. You're going to change things. One thing didn't work. Every business is unique. Every kind of space is unique as you're building. So you definitely want to tweak it to the needs of your company. But there is kind of set business plans that organizations like AmeriLife Marketing Group has fostered for many, many years at this point. And kind of has it down to a science to help you do it.
Yeah, it is, you know, a lot of this is an art and a lot of this is a science. And when the two meet, wonderful things can happen. As part of that, you know, the kind of the science part of it, you know, there's the planning portion, which you know, just talked about. And, you know, what they say about proper prior planning, it prevents pitifully poor performance, to use a kind of an alternate version of something that might not be as podcast appropriate, let's say, as the original phrase. But it's true. I mean, planning can go a long way. But as you say, you got to be able to also have that sort of agility and be able to kind of think on your feet and make changes as needed. But, you know, I guess always plan in the kind of agent world, a little bit maybe more in the advisory world as well. People are always told to, you know, you got to plan for no matter what happens. So that's kind of why a lot of this business exists, right? Like we don't necessarily, we're not necessarily in the business of, you know, offering people a lot of the things that we offer are not necessarily for just every random Tuesday in their lives. It's like, no, yeah. It's when something big and unexpected happens. The same has kind of got to be true for you on the business side and be like, prepare for the things that you expect and get that roadmap planned out, but then also have contingency plans or at least the ability to be that agile kind of business person who says, okay, I got to make some changes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, you know, when you set goals and things that you want to achieve, it's really around the budgeting and financing. You know, that's what you want to look at. Most businesses fail because they're underfunded. You know, I tell everybody, if you get enough time and money, anybody is not going to do the same mistake over and over and over, right? You know, it's not like businesses are failing because they're constantly doing the same thing wrong all the time. But, you know, that is a scary spot to be. You only have so much financing. You only have so much money that you want to put into it as a starting off business. So it definitely takes some budgeting and thinking that through. And I would say the beauty of our industry versus embarking on something brand new, it is an entrepreneur mindset, but there are people that have done this before. There are resources out there and the networks that you can tap into to learn from and get that mentorship of things that they've done right and things that went really wrong and learn by previous mistakes of others, you know, and what they have done. And you can really build your business plan, your strategy to really kind of avoid those waters, right? They're not uncharted is the nice kind of thing. And you can avoid that, but you don't want to get yourself into a situation of that you don't have enough money to keep it going, right? So you want to be very strategic of putting money back into when you have successes, right? You're putting money back into your company or you're holding money in the cupboards in case the unforeseen circumstance kind of comes, like you're saying, Matt. And then the long term is as you grow your agency, probably for another episode is the diversification in product and things like that, right? For those uncharted territories of what happens if something shifts in the Medicare market or the life insurance market, right? You have a diversification of a product mix that is really helpful and cross-selling to kind of offset some of those costs for sure, upfront costs that you face in the marketplace.
Yeah, and of course, those are topics, obviously, that we will bring up in future episodes of AMG Academy. I think in that, like those two sentences, there's probably like five episodes in there that we can talk about because it's a lot. Yeah. But the only thing constant is change after all. So you gotta prepare for it. Well then, okay. So, you know, we've been talking about kind of the business planning part of the expansion. What about kind of maybe a little bit more literal or not necessarily literal, but visible expansion of it? It's funny because we were just before we started recording here, we were talking about the growth of AmeriLife as a whole. And that kind of being visualized each year at the kickoff that happens at the beginning of the year, which as of this recording just happened a few days ago. And that, you know, being kind of like, wow, here it is right in my face, this big visual representation of that. Well, as your business grows, obviously you would want to kind of do the same thing. You'll want to build out a team of people, because as your agency grows, obviously you're not a solo agent anymore. So you got to have that team around you.
Yeah. I mean, this is the core of leadership, is a great team around you. I mean, if you're a great leader, it's because you have great people around you. Let's be real. It's not anything special we do in these leadership roles. It's definitely the team that you build. And I think it's crucial. You know, my history has always been, when I'm building out teams, is to hire within or hire friends and family. There's all these, I guess, recruiting tools and things you can use to find the right people. But ultimately, when you have friends and family that are surrounding you, they're usually like-minded people. Or if you have a few on your team that you like, you know, those are the best individuals to really pull on to see if they can refer, people into jobs for you, because you'll find, you know, people follow the same like-minded people. They surround themselves with the same like-minded people. And it's really helpful, I think, when you're building that team. And there's a lot of buy-in to your overall company at that point. You know, you become a family and definitely grow it together. But it is a crucial aspect. I mean, one person, one bad seed in your company can have probably one of the most devastating effects versus product change or any of that stuff. It could be the quickest thing that changes kind of the culture of your business and really brings stress on your business. So, you know, take the time to really vet people. You know, don't backfill a need quickly. I know it's easy for us to do because we want, you know, there's a lot of workload or something happening to somebody. And we want to be quick to hire for that, but definitely take the time and assess, you know, the real true need of that, and vetting the proper person before you stick them in there, because the last thing you want to do is hire fast and have to fire fast. My motto is always hire slow and fire fast. You know when somebody's not the right kind of fit and you want them out quick, which is not the best thing to talk about, but it is the reality of kind of building out a company. So, you know, with that, it's not fun to do. So be slow when you're picking and choosing your team. As far as the agents, you know, you can help support any agent out there. They're definitely, from this structure of building an agency, depending on how you do it, right? They're definitely individuals that are out there trying to build something themselves as well. So that's what you're encouraging as an agency leader, is what you have built and how you did it. But ultimately, you're kind of training somebody to eventually get to the same spot you are, is grow beyond a solo agent, that they're only producing themselves. I mean, that's the beauty of this business, is you can keep growing and building, bringing new people in. So you also want to not only replicate your ability to write product, but you also want to replicate your ability to create an agency as you start to learn it. So don't forget that as you're bringing new people into the business, you know, you don't have to be as selective. You don't have to go through as much as a vetting process or things like that. You're definitely wanting to put as many people in the sales pipeline as possible, because there's going to be burnout. There's going to be agents that come in and do this for a year and then have a lot of success and then kind of plateau and maybe get out and do something else. So you definitely want to be out there recruiting and bringing as many agent downline as you possibly can, for sure.
Yeah. And that sort of goes back as well to something that you mentioned a little bit earlier, which was, being that kind of mentor to people and making sure that you're passing that knowledge along so that the next kind of generation or the next crop of agents coming up can really then, you know, take that knowledge in and pass it along so it doesn't get lost.
Yeah. I mean, that's key. I can't tell you, Matt, how many times I've seen it in the business and it breaks my heart, right? And then people are definitely scrambling at that point to try to figure it out. And your loved ones, sometimes there's renewal income in that, all sorts of stuff. And it's a hard spot to be. So, you know, creating an agency and an LLC and kind of structuring that has not only long-term impacts for you as an individual, but it's definitely a legacy or something that you can hand over to somebody in your family or somebody else, you know, that you mentor, that they can kind of take the baton and take it to the next chapter and kind of build it from there and keep it going, which is an exciting thing. I mean, building something is always exciting.
Yes, definitely. I absolutely love that. You know, you can, there's a certain satisfaction that goes along with that and saying, look at what I built and look at what we built together as a team. As we're talking about, you know, building out the team and all of that, how do you then, you know, if you get the right people, you talked about making sure that you have the right people around you, first of all, and how that is priority as far as building that team, then how do you, when you get the right people in the door, you make sure you have the right people in the right jobs, the right places in that business. How do you then make sure that they hang around?
You need to get them bought in. I mean, you know, the part of a great company is once you have that team in place, you know, don't be a boss or a manager, I should say. You know, be a leader. People follow. I'm one to tell you, you know, you can tell people what to do, but you know, my team here at Amerilife Life Marketing Group is a prime example. You know, they definitely have their own business. We support that business. And as a leader, you may think that somebody's just going to go do what you tell them to do when they get to their computer or they get behind closed doors. You know, they're going to do what they want. So they have to be first and foremost bought into your vision. They got to be a part of that, in my opinion. When you're planning out your strategies and your growth, you know, make your team a part of all of those discussions. Get their input. You know, delegate some of that to them of what they think, you know, be creative in it to where they're actually bringing ideas and it's all being assessed by the team of what your next goals and strategies are. Because when you're bringing them into the planning, you know, when things are going wrong or it's not working, guess what? It's not your idea. It was everybody's. It's the collaborative idea. So nobody starts pointing the finger that this was the boss's idea and that's why it's failing, right? They all were bought in from day one and, you know, they're going to see it through to make sure that it is adjusted or they do things in your company to get it back on track so that it has success. And I think that's extremely important as you're building something. You know, don't just be a micromanager. Don't just be somebody that's telling what people what to do. You know, really lead from the front, lead by example, get them involved in your strategies, your story. And ultimately you're going to build a family that's going to build something great and let it sit back and just watch. Honestly, it's amazing. You know, when you have that, what starts to take place and what you see people start to do to make sure those dreams and desires start to happen.
Yeah, those are the, you know, in my life in the corporate world, I have always said that my favorite bosses or leaders that I've worked under or with have been those who are those that lead from the front and lead by example and not those who are so focused on every bit of, you know, minutia of every task that you do every day. You know, if they say, look, here's where we need to get, take your skill set and help us get there, that's so much different than being feeling like you have somebody over your shoulder all the time.
Yeah.
Looking at everything. No, don't do it this way, do it that way. You know, it's like if we get from point A to point B, that's great, no matter how we're able to get there. But yeah, it just fosters so much more trust, and you get so much more out of it. I feel like as an employee, I guess, in that sense, or as someone who is trying to follow the leader, really, you get a lot more out of it. Seriously.
Yeah. People, you know, that's when you show up to a job that it changes from a job to culture, right? You're creating a culture of like-minded people, you know, that you're growing. And I would say, as you're building out an agency or growing any type of business, you know, focus on that culture, focus on the individuals. You know, we started this conversation about building something. You know, you make this transition because you want to not only replicate yourself, but there's a why behind that, of that you're wanting to replicate yourself because you want to see others succeed. And that goes through kind of your team and everything. That the reason you're putting people in this position, these positions, or the reason that you're growing this, is you want to see others have success, not only from an economic or financial standpoint, but from their own personal growth. So when you're getting them involved, they're all going to grow into these amazing skills, and you're going to learn stuff from them, and it's going to you know, force you as a leader in these agencies to grow yourself and see things that you never thought were possible. And that's it's a beauty of this business as well, is there's tons of opportunity. There's tons of underserved marketplaces, and there's nonstop growth that can happen if you're focused on the right things, for sure.
Yeah. And that's, it's very true. And it also, you know, that growth can of course come with, as you mentioned a minute ago, a lot of challenges that need to be sort of navigated. Talk about maybe some of the challenges that you've seen come up in businesses, either your own or others, that, you know, have created maybe some challenges along the way, and how folks can kind of overcome those challenges.
Yeah, I think a lot of times has happened to me when I'm starting a business, I think you can get too in the weeds, you know. So I do warn people as you're going, it's great to plan, but it's also great to be, hey, let's just get this done. So you got to find that balance in between to not, you know, paralyze yourself in a sense that you're not moving forward because you're so fearful to make a decision or fearful to invest in something, you know. That is a big part. If you're not taking a shot, you're never going to succeed or learn from something. And that comes with, you know, it challenges the financing things, and you don't want to spend money. But a lot of tools in this marketplace, I mean, there's a lot of resources out there that if you put enough time into it and you kind of listen to the experts that have utilized it or others in the marketplace that have utilized some of these things, you know, pick their brain. I will tell you that. Learn from their mistakes. Don't just brush people off. And I don't care who they are. Everybody has some type of life wisdom or industry wisdom that you can pull something from. They may not be the same style as you. They may be a totally different person that you don't see yourself as that individual, but they definitely bring some type of value that you need to pull out of them to make your own in any conversation. So I would encourage people in that. The other mistake is people, they underfund. You know, they get caught up into, I'm spending a lot of money into this lead source or whatever it may be in the marketplace. And you need to look at, first and foremost, you have to have a flow of some type of leads coming in. And you got to be willing to invest in that. And you got to look at multiple sources, never just stick to one source out in the marketplace, because there could be a shift that happens, something that takes place, and you need to have that diversification of the flow of prospects you're talking to. But do your due diligence, you know, make sure you're picking the right lead sources out there. Lean on your distributors. AmeriLife is a great source of this. They do a lot of due diligence on lead vendors in the marketplace. We have a very stringent compliant team, you know, that's looking at a lot of these especially in the Medicare space, which is leads are a big topic right now happening, to make sure you're doing compliance stuff out there. So that's key. But don't be too fearful, you know, of making mistakes. Don't walk on eggshells. You know, I think I'm a firm believer. If you're purposely trying to do the right thing, you're going to do the right thing. I mean, there are mistakes, but if you have a heart to help retirees really navigate these waters, and that's your forefront of your mission versus making a sale or whatever it may, that's going to come across to anybody you're talking to. And let's be real, you know, these individuals have worked their whole life to this moment, you know, so respect that. They definitely put the time in to live this life well. And I think it's our obligation to really kind of support them in their education and their decision-making to make this, you know, a good retirement for them. And it's well-deserved on their part. And I think if you hold that, you know, in your heart and your mind, I think it's going to come across and it's no longer a sale. You know, they see you as a vessel to really help them. And it becomes kind of an easy conversation from there. But as from a business stance too, I think we can look at systems and stuff and be fearful of implementing systems or try to go the inexpensive route too. And sometimes, you know, as somebody that's building a business, you can spend too much time on the administrative side of things because you think it's in, you know, you don't need to pay for something. But I will tell you, you know, try to create as many efficiencies as possible. Look at your company and what you're spending a lot of time at and start there. But when you see, you know, something that's taken a lot of time, energy, and effort away from selling, away from being out and talking to people, you know, try to find a tool or something out there to make it more efficient. That's key. And don't stop moving around that because you can kind of just open things up and redistribute, you know, that effort somewhere else. And it's going to help your business to continue to grow. And that's the advice I would give as you're building something, you know, as an agency, you know, don't get caught in the admin side of things. It's very easy for us to do. You know, we didn't necessarily get into the space to do that, but as you're building, that's the challenges that start to come out is definitely some of the busy work that can take you away from to continue to grow, for sure. So make sure you see either staff for it, technology wise, you know, there's different ways to handle it, but you know, make sure you're always assessing that and really looking where you can make that change.
There are always ways to work smarter, not harder, when it comes to those things. So yeah, absolutely do. And you know, I mean, if you found that, you know, you are in this phase where you've seen some growth in your agency at this point, you've got the right team around you and all of that, where things are growing at a nice, healthy rate. How do you sort of manage the growth of your business in a, you know, any sort of sustainable way? You don't let it get away from you. You don't let it overwhelm you. And then you don't, as you said earlier, you know, a lot of people might get into the business as an agent from that perspective. But then, you know, sort of translating it into the agency part, go and experience growth and then kind of plateau and get frustrated and you know, throw up their hands and leave. How do you sort of manage that from a business growth standpoint?
You know, I think it's always looking at, I would always encourage people of what other things you can do for your customer base. You know, some people, you mentioned plateau. It's very easy to plateau in a specific product line, or it's very easy for us to look at something, and just kind of think, hey, it's doing well. I don't need to make a change. I always tell this story to my team. Here is we have our break room and we've been ordering Lipton. I see, hopefully I can say that on podcast without, you know, rights or whatever, but, you know, I used to go in there and grab a some tea every day. And for months and months and months doing this. And then one day I went in there, and as you know, like the tea bag, you kind of open it and it has a string with a piece of paper that's stapled to it or attached to it. And one day I noticed that Lipton made a change where they actually took the string and connected it to the opening of the bag, and it was serrated where it would rip off, and the piece of paper was now not by itself, but part of the actual container holding it. And that's a prime example of what I'm talking about. Here's probably a company that's been around forever, growing, and they looked, hey, we don't need to keep looking outside. What is something we can do? A small change that would make a significant impact. That small change probably saved them, you know, millions of dollars in buying that small extra little piece, now being a part of the bag that they made that simple change to save them probably millions of dollars in their process. That's things you can do in your own agency. You know, look at your customer base as what are things that you can be talking to them about? What are other products that they may need, you know, needs or have needs on and willing to talk about? Or, you know, how can I utilize them that I've done and have taken care of them all these years that, you know, I could build up my referral base, that they start referring more clients to me, or more of their friends and families that I can talk to. So, you know, it's things that you always have to make these small changes. It doesn't have to be something big. You know, something small can make a significant impact in your business is what I would tell everybody. But take your time to think. That's why, you know, as you grow to a certain size, and I tell you not to, you know, made a comment not to get so caught into the busy work. Part of that is to be able to give yourself time to step back away from your business and do these types of assessments. You know, take time throughout the year to plan and look at what I can, you know, do throughout the year in this strategy to make it stronger. And then listen to your team. You know, open the ability for autonomy in your team as well. You know, leverage that. I am a firm believer that if I can train multiple minds to think like mine in my business, it takes one brain of me trying to take this all on to, you know, in ours, we have 50 people in here, 50 brains thinking creatively and bringing things to you. And you get constant ideas that you can assess through. And it's amazing because some of us get burnt out. It gets hard to think of all this stuff. You know, how do I grow this? And sometimes somebody just that you don't even think about in your team will come up and know the business and come up with a concept that you guys can run with. And now it's taking you to the next level. So that's what I would encourage people as they're building this to think about for sure.
Yeah, great stuff. And before we kind of wrap everything up in a nice little bow here in just a few minutes, this is such a great conversation to have. And talk about, if you can, maybe just some other, you know, success stories, perhaps, of people who have gone through this whole transition that we've talked about and all these different kind of steps and phases of growing that business from agent to agency.
Yeah, I mean, I will say AmeriLife Marketing Group, we deal with a lot of different variations of independent individuals in the marketplace. You know, we have people that are working out of their house to very large agencies that are out in the marketplace of 100, you know, 700 captive agents, you know. And we've seen a lot of amazing success stories. And, you know, there's individuals, I can't go into too much detail of some of their proprietary things and things like that, that we definitely keep dear to our hearts of what they've done. But there's many stories out there of individuals. And I'll put one out there. I'll never forget a couple I met. And in, you know, talking about underfunding and kind of our earlier comments about you know, the fear of leads or investing in something. And they were doing this, trying to get into this market for a good couple months and struggling. And, you know, they kind of looked at this. They were down to their last few dollars in the bank. And they said, we're going to do our last mailer. And if this doesn't work, we're done. And fast forward, they did that mailer and they had great success. And they are now a multi-million dollar producing agency, building it from scratch. So, you know, it's definitely, it can be fearful. And, you know, there's stories like that all over of people, you know, riding up to these opportunities on their bike, you know, and now have beautiful homes and beautiful families and all those things. There's so many stories like this in this marketplace. And that's where I would encourage, you know, just talk to individuals. This is a very encouraging marketplace. I don't think there's many out there that are going to tell you, no, don't do it. You know, there's many individuals that have these amazing stories of their life was going into this direction. They answered an ad or they came into this marketplace or somebody, you know, talked to them about what insurance really is. And they have these great success stories to hear. But I will encourage everybody, this is an underserved market. And you can grow substantially just because of that. There is not enough people to support how many individuals are retiring. And, you know, it's a wide open, what we call baited field of just individuals out there looking for some education or somebody to talk to that has a skill set just to answer a few questions for them. You know, the beauty of the internet and everything, a lot of people, they educate themselves significantly before they retired, rightfully so, they should be. And a lot of times they're just looking for somebody to fill in some of the blanks, you know, that they can trust and they feel is competent to answer some of these questions that they have about this big transition that's happening in their life. And I think if you put your head down and just focus on that, you'll have your own success story at the end that we'll all be hearing about. And I encourage anybody that hears this in the future, I love hearing. I mean, that's why I do what I do is not for myself. I love hearing people's stories. I've heard hundreds of them. And I would encourage you down the road, if you hear this and have a success story based off of, you know, this discussion today, I would love to hear that down the road for sure. So, you know, make sure you write into me.
Yeah, definitely do that. Cause that's, you know, just hearing about that one couple that you shared a second ago, that it brings a huge smile to my face, and I know yours as well. So that any of those stories and experiences like that are great, great to hear. So on this edition of AMG Academy, we've been talking about growth, you know, from the agent phase, the solo agent phase of your career to being a successful agency, going through that transition, recognizing when it's time to expand and or making yourself ready to expand, planning for that transition, building out the team that you need, and not just any team, but the right team, the right people in the right places, managing the growth and some challenges that you might experience along the way to becoming that success story that you just mentioned, Nick. I think that's wonderful. And yeah, we really, really do encourage the listeners to reach out with any of the successful, you know, transitions that they've experienced along their journey and where they are now. So I really do appreciate this conversation. I think this has been great, Nick, and look forward to having many, many more conversations with you.
I appreciate it, Matt.
And thanks to you for listening to AMG Academy or watching the video version of the show. Really appreciate you being with us. I'm Matt McClure. We'll talk to you again next time.
Thanks for joining us for this edition of AMG Academy. For more information on any of today's topics or to contact us, visit AmeriLifeMarketingGroup.com.